Good day and welcome to another episode of the International News Desk, whether you're tuning in on snl24.com/soccerladuma, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Play. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Sean Robertson. Of course, Kurt the Dirt Buckerfield. How are you, my friend? It's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah, Shawnee, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. Not too much today, but obviously we'll touch on United.
We have to.
Let's chat Champions League, I guess, quickly. I guess no surprise with Man City going through to the last eight. Real Madrid just scraping through 6-2 on aggregate for Man City. They're looking good. They're looking good for another one, aren't they?
They are looking good. I saw Pep Guardiola say in response to that or reacting to that game that now people will consider City as favourites or among the favourites. And I was like, didn't we always consider them among the favourites after last season? Yeah, very convincing. Typical City, really. Just ruthless, very professional. That's one thing that really sticks out to me, that word, when I watch City. You know, sometimes, Sean, as a Manchester United fan and as someone who grew up watching that fast-paced, counter-attacking football, it can sometimes bore me. I'm just being honest. I'm taking no shots here. Watching City play against a side maybe in the bottom 10, for example, in the Premier League. Or a smaller side, it is a little, you know, just what's the word I'm looking for?
Monotonous.
It feels monotonous. Yes, it's just the same patterns, and I guess that's down to the coaching, which is a compliment to Pep Guardiola, that the players always know where to be and where their teammates are. But
and
it's
works.
Very, very professional, because that kind of ruthlessness and efficiency is very, very difficult to maintain over so many years. So it's excellent, and it's typical, and it's what we expect from the best team in the world.
It's almost robotic, eh?
Completely robotic. But again, it's down to the professionalism and how serious those players are taking it. Exactly. Yeah. And it's a credit to Pep Guardiola for not allowing complacency to creep in. I mean, it's very, very rare since he's been there. When did he join? 2016 or 2015? 2016?
Is it 8 years?
Years?
Is this ninth season?
Yes. So it's very, very impressive when you think back and think about how many times City have looked complacent. You know, you can count on your hand. It's very, very impressive. Yeah. Well done to them. Well done to you, Shawnee. Well done.
Well done to me. Well done to my team. Thank you, Curtie. And well done for kicking your ass in the derby. let's touch base. State of the Champions League. Real Madrid scraping through RB Leipzig. Hell of a team, RB Leipzig, aren't they?
Yeah, they play very, very good football. A few chances in that game. Definitely looked like it could go either way, but City, Real Madrid, like you said, scraping through. Look, Real Madrid have shown in the Champions League in the past that they don't necessarily need to play very well to win the whole damn thing. They did that a few years ago when they beat Liverpool in the final. I don't know if you remember that season, Sean, but I think it was 2021-22 when they effectively in every round they had to produce some sort of a comeback. It was that season where Benzema was so clutch. This is what Real Madrid do. I would not write them off, you know, the further they get to this competition, because they've got some big players, Bellingham, Vinicius Jr., guys who can win a match. And I think that they have to be considered as one of the favorites as this tournament progresses, for sure.
Just touching on Junior, numerous times you see him in the 18-yard box winning headers or contending for headers. Do Real Madrid miss Benzema?
I think they do. Because they've had to play with Joselu up front for most of the season. And when he's not been picked, they don't really have an out-and-out number nine. So I do think they miss that kind of a presence up there. But as we know, and I'm sure it's something that we'll touch on a lot over the coming months, but Kylian Mbappe is on the way to Real Madrid. It's still a mystery as to where exactly he'll play, if he'll play as a number nine or from the left. But I think that their attack is going to be looking a lot more complete when he joins the side. But yes, I do think they miss that presence. Benzema was, of course, carrying them after Ronaldo left the club. But they're still getting goals. I mean, Bellingham's on 20, he's their top goal scorer. I think Vinicius Jr. is now up to 16. So they're not finding scoring a problem. But it's just in those big moments, in those big matches, that they might miss someone like Benzema for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And to the listeners, Mbappe to Madrid, is that done?
It's not done. It's not done just yet, Sean, but it's close to happening, I believe. You know, he's communicated his decision to PSG. I think that they've made peace with it. I think in the last few weeks, Luis Enrique has been taking him off quite early in matches. I don't know if you've seen any of that, Sean, but there was one game he pulled him off at halftime, then in the 65th minute. And on both occasions, Luis Enrique was saying that we need to get used to playing without Mbappe. So it's definitely going to happen. And it looks like it will be to Real Madrid.
Interesting stuff. Well, let's go from one side of Europe just to next door to Manchester, and let's chat about Ten Hag and how he by no means is a certainty to be in the Old Trafford dugout next season, Curti.
Yeah.
Speculation around him is mounting, and Ineos are mulling over potential candidates to replace him. How true that is, I don't know. But the pressure is certainly on.
I think so, Sean. I think if you had asked me this question a few months ago, even when United weren't playing very well, I'd have thought that Ten Hag had potentially done enough to stay. But I am on the other side of that argument right now, at least the way I'm feeling as a Manchester United fan. I think that when the owners, the new co-owners, at least Sir Jim Ratcliffe and his team, when they look at what other managers have done with players of a smaller profile at clubs like Brighton, Postecoglou at Spurs, I think they'll be asking themselves, why has Ten Hag not been able to implement his style of play at Manchester United? Why hasn't it worked? It's been a season and a half, or longer than that, close to two seasons, of sort of inconsistency. We know that his debut season ended well with the trophy, and there was a nice period I think it was 18 or 19 games unbeaten. And that looked really promising, and United were playing some good stuff. And of course, there have been some high-profile injuries this season, so there are excuses one could make for Ten Hag. But the bottom line is, it hasn't been good enough. And I think that when the new owners are putting together their project and discussing potential new signings and the way forward, Ten Hag's name will be a serious point of discussion right now. I think that there are questions about him and whether he can take Manchester United to another level. I also think that it won't help the squad. Look, I'm, as a Manchester United fan, excited that there are new co-owners who are going to be taking charge of all footballing operations. But I do think that could have, at this point of the season at least, a negative impact on the squad, because there might be some players in that team who believe that Ten Hag won't be the manager next season. So what is there to play for right now? Who do I need to impress? You know, they might be thinking that they don't have a long-term future at the club. So I just think that there's a lot of uncertainty at the club right now. And I can understand why Sir Jim Ratcliffe might think that it's best to start his project with a new manager, someone with a fresh approach, new ideas. I totally understand it. But yes, I kind of always do go back to Ten Hag has probably done enough, you know, to warrant some more time. And we know that someone like Arteta, for example, at Arsenal needed time. Someone like Ferguson in his first few years at Manchester United needed time. He was a few games away from the sack before, you know, he ended up turning things around. So yeah, it's the way of modern football, unfortunately. Managers aren't given that time. But we'll have to wait and see. I think I can see it both ways right now, you know, and I can understand both arguments.
Yeah, and a big statement here that it's going to be a push for a top four finish, I guess, for United this season.
It has to be. I mean, yeah, it has to be. And I don't think that's possible right now, unfortunately, with the way that Villa, City, Liverpool, Arsenal have been playing, and Spurs too. So I don't know how Manchester United creep into that top four based on what we've seen this season. Of course, they could go on a good run and string together some nice results. Yeah. But a poor performance is around the corner always at Manchester United. So I would be a little worried.
Yeah, I mean, to think we are actually saying Aston Villa to finish above Man United is frightening. Well, let's move on from one upset to a potential another. Bayer Leverkusen on the path to glory, Kurt. It's absolutely incredible what's happening in the Bundesliga, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is why Bayern Munich and Liverpool are after Xabi Alonso, because he's done so well since being appointed. Yeah, so Leverkusen are currently 10 points clear of Bayern Munich with just 10 league games remaining. I think Bayern have won the league for the last 10 or 11 seasons on the bounce. I think Dortmund went very close last season and they ended up throwing it away on the final day. But I think, you know, when you look at Leverkusen's fixtures and just at how well they've been playing, I think they might be the only unbeaten team in Europe this season so far in domestic football. When you consider their form, and I mean, even last night they had a UEFA Europa League game against Karabakh. They were losing 2-0 at halftime. They ended up turning it around and drawing 2-2. They just can't be beaten right now. And I think that, and by the way, there were loads of changes to their first 11 in that game. They're just playing so well, Sean. They've got so many good players. They've got a really good manager. And it seems like there's a strong focus in that side right now to get over the line. And I think they can. If
the
they don't...
The thing about Leverkusen are their fullbacks, how they both have double digits in goals and assists from Pong and Grimaldo. It's outrageous.
Yeah. It is outrageous.
Thanks, coach. Thanks, coach.
Yeah, it's completely outrageous. Good point, Eden. no, I'm serious. I'm not being sarcastic. Yeah. They play some beautiful stuff. And like I said, this is why with Tuchel leaving Bayern, they are reportedly interested in Xabi Alonso. And with Klopp leaving Liverpool at the end of the season, they too are looking at him. So, yeah, I think that a lot of his players and a lot of people have worked closely with him rate him very, very highly as a coach, and think that I think it was Grimaldo, his left back, recently say that he will mark the next era in football in terms of coaches. So it's very exciting to have another top manager on the rise.
Absolutely. And in terms of age, he's what, he's early 40s, eh?
Early 40s, yeah.
Yeah, amazing. Right, let's move on swiftly. Thanks for that, Curti. And cool. Thanks, Aiden. Juventus midfielder Paul Pogba says he is sad, shocked, and heartbroken after being banned from football for 4 years for a doping offense. The French international, who's 30 years old now, was provisionally suspended in September after a drugs test found elevated levels of testosterone in his system. Curti, that is potentially his career done.
Yeah, when that ban is lifted, he'll be 34 years old. And I think that at that point, you know, he'll have been out the game for so long that it would be very difficult for him to recover. I think that he could probably have a couple of seasons, you know, in the Saudi League or MLS. But then again, he's had so many bad injuries over the last few years that who knows if his body could recover from 4 years out of top flight football. So, yeah, it's a real pity. And, you know, Pogba has maintained his innocence. His legal team have maintained his innocence, saying that he unknowingly digested testosterone. And unfortunately, you know, there's no way of proving that right now. The court, they didn't believe him at all throughout this case. And that's why they've given him the harshest punishment. I've seen that he will appeal it, and maybe that ban could be reduced to 2 years or a year and a half. But unfortunately, it looks like Pogba will be out of football for a long time. It's really sad. I'm Sean. I was a huge Paul Pogba fan at Manchester United. I absolutely loved him, and I still do. I think that he's magic. He can be magic. But maybe he's a complicated fella, you know?
Yeah, it certainly seems like it. And so, Kurt, what happens now to his contract?
So I think that those next steps are still to be decided by the club and Paul Pogba. But he only has a deal there until, I think it's 2026. So by the time he returns to football, his contract will have expired. I don't think that Juventus are allowed to pay him a salary while he is suspended. So, you know, my prediction is that Juventus and Paul Pogba part ways relatively soon.
Sure. And God knows what that contract is worth. Yeah, crazy, man. Well, let's move on to this weekend's predictions. two massive games, courtesy Liverpool at home to Man City, Chelsea at home to Newcastle. I'm going 1-1 draw, Liverpool-Man City.
1-1. And where is that game taking place? Is it at...
That's at Anfield.
At Anfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean, that's a difficult one to call. I'm going to go 2-1 Liverpool.
Oh, come on. Really?
No, I want Liverpool to win the league.
Yeah, of course you do. Yeah.
But okay, I mean, of course enough. I do. I'm a United fan. Exactly. That should be the last thing I'm saying.
Or anyone besides City.
Yeah, that's how I feel, kind of.
Chelsea at home to Newcastle. Chelsea, of course, not having the best of seasons at all.
No.
I think they're 11th in the table or something crazy like that. I'm going 3-1 Newcastle.
And that game is being played at?
At Chelsea.
At Chelsea. I'm going to go, I think, did you say 3-1 Newcastle?
I did.
I think that's going to be a Desmond, a 2-2.
A 2-2, a Desmond.
Have you never heard that one before?
I haven't, bro. I like it.
It's like, I used to watch this podcast of English football fans, and they call 2-2 draws in England a Desmond. That's hilarious.
I think it's fantastic.
You got to use it more often.
Oh my God. That's brilliant. Right. This is the most exciting part of the podcast in my eyes, where our producer, Aiden Hewitt, seeks the socials and myself and Kurt unpack them. Aiden.
Gentlemen, welcome back to Seeking the Socials. Good to have you back. It's it's been a while since we did one of these. I think it's been close to a month now. So today we have a pick and choose scenario. So we can choose between Twitter/X, Facebook or Instagram. You guys can fight to the death and decide who chooses where we're going.
Kurt, up to you, my friend.
Aiden, sorry. When you were saying that, I kept thinking about your news voice. A pick and choose scenario.
I was just thinking, Aiden Hewitt, ETV. Thank you very much.
Aiden, yeah. You're going to have to give me those channels again, bro. I'm sorry. I was just thinking of the pick and choose scenario.
Well, Kurt, it's the same three social medias.
The main three
that I've always given you. Yeah, so Twitter or X, Facebook and Instagram.
Okay, I'm going to go. Let's go X. Let's go X.
Beautiful. Fantastic. The post reads, what has been the greatest free transfer of all time? Any league, any team, any player. Which player moved to a club for free but rarely stood out?
Sean, you'll know of South African players or PSL-based players, right? Who've moved for free and done wonders.
You would think.
There are loads. I mean, Juventus famously, Aiden, I think between...
Didn't Pirlo go on a free?
Mm-hmm. Pirlo was a free transfer. Paul Pogba was a free transfer. When he moved from United to Juventus, and let's not forget that he had four excellent years there before returning to United.
Yeah.
Won a couple of Serie A titles, I think, went to a Champions League final, lost to Barcelona. But he was absolutely phenomenal. And at the time, Pogba was so highly rated in England that it was very, very disappointing for United to lose him. And he went on to show exactly why United fans felt that way. He was phenomenal. And then they sold him for 90 million 4 years later. So that is an excellent free transfer because they just made profit.
Wow. What about Lewandowski?
What about Sol Campbell? Tottenham to Arsenal.
That was 2000 and... When was that?
One.
Sure. 2000 and... Did you say one?
2001, yes.
2001.
I remembered like it was yesterday, Kurt.
That is crazy. That is crazy.
I mean, he did pretty well at Arsenal, didn't he?
Yeah, he was... Sol Campbell was an excellent defender. Yeah. For many, many years.
Do you know who else? You might disagree, but what about Milner? Man City
Huge
to Liverpool.
Big fucking free transfer. Outrageous.
Yeah, I'd have him in my team any day, man. How many trophies did he win at Liverpool? Unbelievable.
I think he won six. Everything there was to win. Boring Milner, yeah.
Have you seen have you seen that Twitter feed? Boring James
Milner.
It's brilliant.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. There must be more. So Juventus had quite a few of them. Pirlo
didn't Lewandowski go to Bayern for free from Dortmund?
Yes, he did.
Was it free?
From Dortmund to Bayern. Yes, it was free.
Yeah, that one.
That was free.
I mean, that was a pretty good free.
That's fair. I mean, he's their all-time record goal scorer.
Yeah.
But what about, you missing a goodie, Curtie, being a United fan. What about Ibra?
Zlatan.
Zlatan.
That was fun, but it wasn't really fruitful, was it? You know, we didn't win a whole lot. I loved him.
Sold a lot of t-shirts.
Yeah. No, I loved Zlatan. That was exciting. And it made me feel really good as a United fan, knowing that he was only going to play for Manchester United in England, even when we weren't at our best. That was special.
We can't even chat Messi, right? He didn't make...
Well, he went to PSG for free, but
yeah,
it didn't really work out that well.
We can't say that was a fruitful one.
But did he go free to Inter Miami from PSG?
Yes.
Because he's made a big difference there, hasn't he?
That's a great shout. He actually just scored now in the early hours of this morning. We are on Friday morning for those listeners who don't know. But he scored a phenomenal left-footed, like, trademark finish from the edge of the box again.
I mean, he's literally put the MLS on the map.
Yeah. And Inter Miami. Before that, no one really cared too much. They had Phil Neville as their head coach. Things were bad, but they've improved drastically, and I think they won a trophy in his first 10 games, which was their first ever trophy. I think that this season, if he and Suarez can stay fit, they've got a really good chance of going all the way in the MLS. That's a great one. There's definitely other players that we are missing out here, Aiden, and it's driving me crazy.
What about Michael Ballack?
Ballack to Chelsea?
To Chelsea.
Yeah, I mean, Ballack was the best in his earlier years when he was at Leverkusen in the early 2000s. I thought he was phenomenal. And for Germany, that guy showed up. He was good for Chelsea, don't get me wrong. But I don't think that he necessarily took them to a whole nother level. And I think that he left. What was the story there? Oh, he decided to reject United for Chelsea. And then a few years later, United won the Champions League. Chelsea.
That sucks, dude.
I'm going to, Aiden, while I'm here, I'm actually just going to quickly just Google this, because there must be players who we could talk about. It doesn't have to be long.
Sean, do you not have any PSL players in mind?
No. I mean, it's just not something that sticks in my pip. I think the majority, like George Madueke, Chiefs to Sundowns, would have been a goodie. He was for free. It's a bit of a silly question, because very, very, very rare does any team pay besides Sundowns for a player in the PSL.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. It's very, very rare. Very, very rare. It does happen.
I'm seeing here JJ Okocha to Bolton from PSG. That's pretty decent.
Wow. What about Luis Enrique, Madrid to Barcelona?
Was that a free transfer?
Apparently, I must be on the same website you are. 1996.
Okay, but
wow.
Yeah, but you know what, Aiden, I know that you're going to think I'm being biased, and I apologize in advance for that. But I think if I was going to say who I think the best free transfer of all time is, I think I'm going to go Messi. I think that's a great shot to Inter Miami. I think that has changed the game in America. I think it's totally elevated football there. And, I mean, Messi's status has grown so much since he's gone there with that American audience.
Sure.
The money that he's bringing in and is being paid, and the eyeballs on that league, I think it has been...
revolutionary.
A defining moment. Yeah, revolutionary, completely.
Fair.
Yeah.
Yep, I can only but respect that.
Thank you, Aiden. I know it's not a top league, but it's still huge.
Well, the question was any league.
Yeah. No, I didn't specify, by country or continent. I said any league.
So, Aiden, thank you very much.
Sean, you're welcome. Gentlemen. Have a lovely day further. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aiden. And that's how we wrap up this episode of the International News Desk. So whether you have been listening on snl24.com/SoccerLaDuma, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify, thank you for tuning in. I've been your host, Sean Roberts, and the expert himself, Mr. Kurt Buckfield. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Sean. Have a great weekend, my friend.
Thank you, my brother. Take it easy. Ciao.